Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message, The Mountain of the Lord. We've been looking at the comments, the prophetic warnings that were given to the prophet Isaiah from the Lord regarding his people. And as I've shared, while they have certainly historical significance, the heart of man has not changed. And so the lessons that are being brought forth in this book, we can learn for ourselves. We should be never dismissing the searching for truth in the Word of God in terms of our heart, because the people of God during the time of Isaiah, well, they were doing all on the surface, they appeared to be doing just fine. They were doing religious observances. They honored the Lord as God, as King, and yet there was wickedness and evil in their lives, and God was addressing that. So let's now look at the sixth chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah ministered during the kingship of King Uzziah, and this chapter begins by speaking of what happened to Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then we find Isaiah's response. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He was identifying with his people and included himself. And then in verse 6 it says, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and also thy sin is purged. This is the prophet Isaiah. That was the word of the Lord to him. And so in the year that King Uzziah died, we see that Isaiah was permitted to see another king, the Lord of hosts. God gave Isaiah a vision. It came in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah had led a nation, the nation of Judah, for 52 years. To this point, Isaiah had not seen the nation. Now he sees a new king, not an earthly king. King Uzziah reigned in Jerusalem 52 years, and we're told in 2 Kings, the 15th chapter, that in verse 3, Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father, his natural father Amaziah, had done, except, it says, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still on the high places. And then in verse 5 it says, the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a separate house. That's 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. And let's just look a little bit at the details. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But again, this is the dangers of pride and presumption. All of us can be guilty of that. Even David, there were traces of pride. Things that he did when you really examine his life closely. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. So all of us need to search our hearts and to see that we really walk in humility as the Lord defines humility. And in verse 16, this is why he became a leper, in case you're not familiar with the passage. But when he was strong, this is King Uzziah, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Well, now that sounds like a godly thing, doesn't it? Here he was going to worship the Lord. And verse 17, Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him fourscore priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. God was very clear through Moses, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast transgressed, neither shall it be for thy honor from the Lord God. And they were warning him. And what was Uzziah's response? Instead of being rebuked, instead of being immediately repentant, what did he do? And this is what pride does in our hearts, presumption. Uzziah was wroth. Wow, well, come on, he was the king, and he was a godly king, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. It said he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth or angry with the priests, God had something to say and do. The leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, he himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. It was obvious it was God. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. He dwelt in a several house, being a leper. In other words, he was cut off from people, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. And so basically, that's where he remained until his death. And when he did die, that's when Isaiah had this vision of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Hallelujah. And so Isaiah had seen the people. He knew the condition of Uzziah. But now something happens. In the year that he died, the king died, he saw the Lord. And beloved, there's a time in our lives, I believe, oh, it certainly may not be dramatic. We may not have visions. But there, something in our lives, we come to a place spiritually that the Uzziahs of our lives die. And when that happens, we are being prepared to see the King of Glory. Not half-hearted worship to God, but a wholeheartedness, desire to see God. Beloved, Isaiah 1 through 8. Remember, I read that in the very beginning. God was wroth with his people, and he basically was saying, you know, you've been blessed by the Lord, you belong to the Lord, and yet you're a broken-down vineyard. God did everything possible for you, and you're bringing forth wild grapes instead of good grapes. And there was no excuse. The Lord pleads with me, so what more could I have done for you? And when we look at the condition of the American church, especially, we have been blessed and given so much. We've been a prosperous nation. There has been freedom of worship. Much in the decades past, we have evangelized the nations. Missionaries have gone out from this country. But in that, in this period of time, the people of God had turned from God. And so, nonetheless, there still was a remnant. And that's true in every generation. God said that a remnant of Israel and such have escaped the house of Jacob shall no more lean on him who smote them or the will of man, but they shall lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Praise God. And there is an example in, let's go to Isaiah 10, 27, and the word says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden," this is the burden of the Assyrian, the burden basically of the work of the enemy, "shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Oh, beloved, that is what a beautiful promise that is. What is the anointing? It's the very presence of God. The work of the enemy that has hindered you, the work of the enemy that has come against you, all the negative thoughts, the circumstances that have just piled up around you, and you feel like at times you're almost forsaken of God. Beloved, it is the work of the enemy. Before God is getting ready to do a great work, the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against him, and the yoke that the enemy is trying to put on you, his yoke is going to be taken from off your neck. The burden, the heaviness, the sorrow, the oppression is going to be taken away off your shoulders. Why? Because of the anointing and the presence of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to pray in the moments that remain. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that you are a strong, a victorious, and a mighty God. And Father, I pray that every work of the enemy against your people, everyone that's listening, Father, the yoke that is in their lives, the enemy's tried to put on them, shall be destroyed because of the anointing and the presence of God. Grant it, Lord, that you may be glorified, that your people may go forward in liberty, in freedom, and in the praise of the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, beloved, there's just a few more scriptures I want to share as we wrap up this message. Now, we'll go to it tomorrow, and then we'll see what else God has for us. But I thank you for joining me, and I invite you to write and share your needs. There may be, you know, we certainly can pray ourselves. We all do, I trust. But there are times there's power in agreement, and there's times sometimes that you haven't seen results. And I do the same thing. You know, I know there's power in agreement, so I'll ask someone to pray with me regarding a particular issue. And so I invite you to do that. If the Lord's moving on you, he has a reason for doing it. The announcer will give our contact information. I invite you, you can send a letter. Yep, I still answer by snail mail because, you know what? I realize we're in a technological age, but I'm so glad there's still books in heaven. That's what it says. The books will be open, not computer screens. Praise God. I'm sorry. All right. Well, until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.